Luke chapter 19 and verse 11, please.
Brother, how many Bibles was that total? How many total Bibles?
Total Bibles, just Bibles, full Bibles. I think the number is something like 600,000.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
170,000 that we ourselves have had printed, and then over 500,000 of these free ones. In fact, this year, next month, they're going to be sending 120,000 of these free Bibles to Poland from the printer.
Thank
you. So, yeah, pretty amazing.
Wow.
I don't think Brent and I had that in our vision. Maybe we had no faith, but never in our wildest dreams. But God is good.
Amen.
Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verse 11 through 13. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Lord, we are so thankful for what you've done for us. Now you're dying for us and rising from the dead. We thank you that you saved us, and thank you for the blood that cleanses me. Thank you for a Bible that contains and is your holy word and that can truly change lives. Pray that you would bless your word today. Give me your words, and Lord, that you might be exalted and we might be challenged and encouraged. Have your will today in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start, I want to thank you again, as I try to do often, maybe not often enough, and thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for all the prayers and support. It's hard to believe that Debbie and I have been in Poland for 30 years, but it will be 30 years in September. And I don't know where the years went. I don't even feel 30, but I guess I am twice that. But God's been so good to us over the years, and we're so blessed. Especially today, we're especially blessed to have all 14 of our grandkids with us today.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. And Debbie's sister is here with her husband Richard, and Debbie's mom is here. So those of you who know Debbie's mom, give her a hug, and she misses you folks terribly. I'm thankful that they're all here today. Thankful for all that y'all have done for us. And you saw at the beginning of that video, the little video of us learning Polish. That was one of the first days of us learning Polish, and that was our schedule for about 6 months when we first got to Poland. Every day we sat in that room for 4 to 5 hours a day with this wonderful teacher, and she taught us Polish. It seemed impossible at first, but by God's grace, we learned it. Now we can speak in Polish and understand it. And sometimes people even understand us. So it's not that easy. Trust me. It's complicated. You think they understand you, but they can understand something different than what you wanted to say. And so anyway, Luke chapter 19 and verse 13 says, occupy till I come.
Yes.
I had forgotten that we had our 50th anniversary last year, right, of the church, and this year is the 5th anniversary of the mission conference. That's pretty amazing. 50 years of mission conferences without fail, year after year. I read recently that the Presbyterian Church of America, I don't know a lot about them. I mean, I know generally, but I don't know how much they do for the gospel's sake. I'm assuming that they preach the gospel in some way, and at least some of them, I don't know. But they just this last year completely abandoned their foreign mission program.
Wow.
That's not one church. That's an entire denomination that has been around for I don't know how long. A long time. And they completely, there's not one foreign missionary from that church anymore. They just call them all home and they say, we're done. That's hard to believe. Even for a large, maybe slightly more liberal denomination, I don't know, but that's pretty hard to believe. And it all came down to finances, they said. But that's a sad, sad state.
Amen.
And Jesus said here, occupy till I come. So I want to talk to you today. I'm going to bring out three things in this passage. The declaration, the instruction, and the duration. The declaration is very simple. It's not something new that nobody has ever heard, and you may not believe it, but it's not anything new. Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen.
You may not like it, you may not believe it, but it's true. It's the most sure thing that's going to happen in the future. You may not win the lottery, you may not retire from your job, you may not get that dream house, you may not have more grandkids, you may not get married, but you know what? Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen.
Face it. You can do nothing about it. You can't change it. You can't deny it and make it go away. It's going to happen. He said it. In fact, he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. You know, Jesus Christ did not make a habit of saying things to please people. That wasn't his agenda. If you wanted a Joel Osteen, you did not go to Jesus. He would tell you the truth, whether you liked it or not. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword.
Yep.
He said, you know what? You look on a woman to lust after her. You commit adultery in your heart.
Right.
He said a lot of things that did not please people. And so when he said he's coming back, he said, you know what? If it weren't so, I would have told you. How do we know he's coming back? Because he said he would.
Amen.
And Jesus didn't go around just dropping words just to make people happy. You know what he did? He told the truth. He said, I'm going to come back. He said, they're going to kill me. And they did. I'm going to rise from the dead the third day. And he did. And then he said, you know what? I'm coming back. And the apostles are all gathered around watching him go up into heaven. And they're like, oh, man, what's going on? What a sight. And then the angel said, don't worry. The same way he left, he is going to come back one day.
Right.
You know what? You might not even die. They say, you know, death and taxes are the most, what do you say? Everybody has to die and pay taxes, whatever. But you know, you might not even die. He might come back before you die. And if you're saved, that's great news.
Amen.
There is consolation in that. He said, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. You don't need to worry about building that big mansion. You'll need to dream about that mansion out there wherever you have planned. Because even if you don't get it, you know what? If you're Jesus Christ's child, you're going to be with him in that mansion forever and ever. And it won't wear out, John. That mansion will never wear out. It's going to last forever. That's a consolation.
Amen.
It's also an expectation.
Amen.
Jesus said, the Bible says we ought to be looking for that blessed hope. It says that we look for the Savior from heaven. That's where our conversation is. And we look for the Savior. Are you looking for Jesus to come back soon? It's an expectation that we should all be having. That's what he said. It's also, I hate to tell you this, but it also has to do with an evaluation. He's coming back, but it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
Now guess what? When you appear before a judgment seat, there's going to be some judgments given out. There's going to be some evaluation. If you are a child of God, you're going to stand before God one day, and everything you've done with what God gave you, with the time He gave you, with the money He gave you, with the gifts He gave you, the opportunities He gave you, with whatever He gave you, He's going to call you to account. Have you done something with what I gave you? That's what this whole parable here is about. He gives these different servants. He gives them 10 pounds. He says, occupy till I come. And so they have to give an account. There's going to be an evaluation.
Yeah.
Now, let me say this before I go on. If you're here today, I don't know everybody here today. But if you're here today and you do not know where you will spend eternity, that means you do not know what happens when you die. You better be scared.
Yeah.
And I'm not just trying to scare you, just to scare you. I know people think that we're a bunch of religious kooks out there telling everybody that Jesus is coming back and, you know, hell is real. Kind of like those guys on the side of the road, two guys on the side of the road with a sign. And it says, the end is near. And some guy comes driving by 60 miles an hour. He rolls his window down, or not anymore, but this is an old joke. So he rolls the window down and he says, you bunch of religious fanatics, get out of here. And then you hear tires screeching to a halt, but the next thing you hear is a car plunging off into the river below. And one guy says, I guess we should have written on that sign, bridge out. People think we're a bunch of religious fanatics saying Jesus is coming back to judge, but He is. He said He is.
Amen.
You and I put stock into so many things that people say and people promise to do, but when Jesus is not coming back, me and everything, you know, is it that big of a deal? It's a pretty big deal in this book.
Amen.
Everything you say, everything you do, everything you have thought in your life you'll be given account for before God one day. And if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity after you die, you better be frightened.
Amen.
The good news is, you don't have to be frightened very long.
Amen.
You can simply say, you know what? Now that I think about it, I got a lot of things that I'm going to have to give account for, and I'm worried. I've done a lot of bad things. I've said some bad things. I've thought some bad things. I've treated people wrong. I've treated God wrong. I've abandoned many, many morals. I've lived like I wanted to live. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. What can I do? The Bible says Jesus Christ, the one who's coming back, He came once already and He died on the cross for you.
Amen.
He paid for your sins. He was nailed to a cross to pay for your sins. He shed His blood to pay for your sins. And He says He will save you today if you'll just put your trust in Him and call upon Him and say, God, save me. I'm a sinner.
Yes.
It's a simple gospel.
That's right.
You just have to repent of your sins, and you have to call out to God, ask Him to save you.
Amen.
That's the good news.
It's good news. Thank you, Lord.
Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved?
Yes.
If you're not sure, don't leave today without being sure. There are plenty of people here today that can tell you how to be saved.
Yes.
That's the declaration. He is coming back. The next thing is the instruction. What did He say? Have fun till I come? He didn't say that. Who doesn't like to have fun? But He didn't say have fun. He said occupy.
That's right.
Occupy. Strange word, right? Occupy. Yeah, the world has fun with that word. Occupy Wall Street, occupy this. And some countries like to occupy other countries, but that's not the point. Occupy. Now listen to what the dictionary says. This is the definition. To occupy time, attention, and labor. Work. It says to transact business. Business. And what is business? Well, business is serious engagement, important occupation, distinct from trivial affairs. Ooh. Occupy sounds like something that doesn't really make the flesh feel too good. It means to be engaged in some things that are really important and serious, not in trivial things. You know why this church is not engaged in all kinds of different programs that occupy time and money and energy and effort? You know why? Because we don't want to be occupied with trivial affairs. Amen. We want to be occupied with what Jesus said to do. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Occupy till I come. So, we have the definition. Then we have the objection. Do I have to? You know that word occupy? It's any imperative. If you learned English, if you went to school and actually paid attention to grammar, imperative means you have no choice. It's like mama saying, go clean your room, or dad saying, come here and do your homework, or whatever. It's an imperative. Occupy, he says. And the objection is, I don't know how. Like you tell your mom sometimes, I don't know how to clean my room. I don't care. Go clean your room, right? I don't know how. Or how about, I can't. I can't preach, or I can't do this, and I can't do that. How about I don't want to?
Amen.
How about I don't have to?
Amen.
Wow. Occupy. He didn't say, you know what, if you feel like it. He didn't say if you have time. He didn't say if you don't mind. He just said occupy. That's what he said. One word. Occupy. Then we have the application. Even Jesus himself said, I must be about my Father's business.
Right.
He didn't say, I came to play around. He came to take care of his Father's business. Am I saying you can't have fun and go swimming and go fishing and whatever else? No, I'm not saying that. But if your life is about trivial affairs and you say you're a child of God, you might consider what he means by when he said occupy.
Yeah, right.
I don't think occupy meant fishing, unless you're fishing for men.
Yep.
I don't think occupy meant to have fun. And I don't think he meant occupy and never have fun. I think he meant, hey, don't forget to do something for God.
Yeah.
Do something with your life that's going to last.
Amen.
Because that fish you caught yesterday, it's already dead. Nobody cares anymore. You already showed it off. Took a picture. We're on to the next thing. That's trivial. That great bargain you made yesterday on Amazon, got a good deal, who cares? Occupy. The application is, do what you can. He didn't even say everyone has to preach. He didn't say everyone has to do the exact same thing. He didn't say everyone has to give so much money, so much percent or so such an amount. He just said occupy.
Yeah.
I mean, do something.
Right.
Just find something to do. Find something you can do to advance the gospel in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in another country, in your city, in your wherever. Just do something that's not trivial. That's the application. You can pray. I don't know how to pray. Oh, come on. Every time your child gets sick, you know how to pray. Every time you almost have a wreck, you know how to pray.
Amen.
Every time you have too little money, you know how to pray.
That's right.
Oh God, help me. There you go. Oh God, help me. Show me what I can do. Just pray. Oh God, help those guys who are out there on the foreign field. Help the pastors. Help those who are going out door to door. You can pray. You can give. You can do something. You can try. I mean, just give it a shot. Get some gospel tracts and go out and just give one. You guys live in America. You can't believe how easy it is to do some things in America than in other places. If I give a gospel tract to a cashier at the grocery store in Poland, most of the time she'll say, "What is this? I don't want that."
Yep.
She doesn't even know what it is.
Yep.
But she doesn't want it. It's just like, I'm guessing it's just not a cultural thing, maybe. But the other day, I mean, I try to remember when I'm at the store here in the States, at least to give out some tracts, you know, and quite often I say, "Hey, can I give you something to read? Just take this and read it." "Well, thank you very much." Now, I don't know what they mean by that. They may be saying, I may be thinking, "Oh, another quack, another religious fanatic," you know, but you know what they did? They smiled. "Well, thank you. Have a nice day." What happens after that is not my business. But they took it and they actually smiled and thanked me for it. It's not that hard. It really isn't. Now you might be afraid they might ask you a question. I don't think you have too much worry about that at the store. Just give them a track, invite them to church, tell them to change your life. Something. You can try. We have also in this verse the duration. 50 years? Is that enough, Brother Kendall? Occupy till I come. Oh my. But what's the inclination? The inclination is, he hasn't come yet. I have time.
Yep.
Maybe later. Maybe when I get a raise. Maybe when I retire. Maybe when I feel more confident. Maybe when I... And you fill in the blank. He didn't say, occupy when... He said, occupy till.
That's right.
Which means you gotta start now and go until a certain time.
Amen.
You can't wait to start. You gotta start now. That's what it means. When mom says clean your room, you don't say, "In a minute, mom." If you got a good mom, she'll say, "That's what you think." When she says clean your room, it means right now,
yep,
stop what you're doing and go clean your room.
Right.
Everyone understands that. Jesus says, occupy, and we think, "Well, when can I start?" I think you know the answer. It means now. Do something. Start now and do it until the time he says to stop. The inclination is, I have time. The inclination is, as long as I feel good doing it, as long as it's popular, as long as I don't get tired, as long as people like me, as long as it's legal,
yeah,
as long as I don't have to pay a price. He didn't say that. He just said, occupy till I come.
Amen.
Seems pretty straightforward to me. We also have the temptation. And that's harder to deal with. That's stronger. The temptation is to quit. 50 years, I'm wore out. Right? 30 years, 42 years, whatever, I'm wore out. He didn't say occupy till you wore out. It doesn't mean that you're going to do the same same thing until you die. It means do something until what? Until I come. So there's not a factor in here that takes into account that when you reach a certain place or stage or age or whatever, that you can just completely give up. Even if you can't go on doing the same thing, you can still pray. You can still help. You can still support. You can still write letters. You can still give a phone call. Encourage someone who's doing it. You can still do something. Yeah. That's what he says. Occupy. But we get bitter, discouraged, we get complacent.
Amen.
We give up because no one is interested, like John was saying. Maybe before, wow, we'd preach and we'd have 100 people gathered around, 200 people. Okay, 199 were screaming, get out of here, but hey, we had a crowd. I'll take that over empty streets anytime, you know, but still, now what? Empty streets, people don't want to talk. The temptation is to quit. But he said, occupy till I come.
Amen.
And it seems pretty clear to me that we're supposed to be doing something until Jesus Christ comes back.
Hey, that's right.
Again, I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm not telling you to do the same thing for the rest of your life until your dying day. I'm telling you, the Bible says you and I should be occupied in something that's not trivial until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
Whatever that may be, something eternal, something lasting, something that won't burn up at the judgment seat of Christ, something that will not bring you shame when he comes.
Amen.
I mean, honestly, would you say, Lord, I've been waiting for you. I caught 3 fish this big. And it was Saturday, not Sunday. I went to church the next day, but I caught 3 fish. I don't think you'll be impressed. I'm not condemning you for fishing. I'm saying if that's all you do, if you do nothing but trivial stuff, you got a problem. That's not occupying. Occupy till I come. Now, the last thing I want to talk to you about is in this verse is the compensation. Now, some people have a hard time with this. When we talk about rewards in heaven, some people think that just doesn't seem right. To do things to receive rewards. And I understand why it might be for some people kind of hard to wrap their brain around. But when you go to work, you have no problem doing that for a compensation. When you buy your wife some flowers, you have no problem with some kind of compensation. At least a thank you, you know. I know. I'm the only guy that does thanks my wife because I think maybe she'll give me a hug or she'll say thank you. Everybody here does thanks just because they love the wife so much and they want nothing in return for it. Come on. We all do things in life that we expect some kind of return. Maybe we have high expectations, but we think, you know what? I worked all week. I think I deserve a paycheck. And the boss says, no, you know, I think you just love to work so much, you want to help us so much, you just do it for free. No! We all expect compensation for some things that we do. You know what Jesus says? He says he is going to recompense you and me for things we did for him.
Wow.
He didn't have to say that.
Wow.
But he did. He said, I'm going to recompense you. If you do something lasting, I'll give you a reward for it. Now, we don't have to get into all the details of what kind of reward. You know what it says here? It says here in verse 17, he said unto him, well, well, thou good servant. Another gospel says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Who doesn't like to hear, well done, thou good servant? Well done, thou good employee. Well done, thou good child. Well done, you did a good job. That would be compensation enough in many cases. That you did something right finally, right? Hey, I did something that even God said, well done. How about souls getting saved? Are you still thrilled about somebody getting saved? Does it still thrill you when someone says, you know what? I had no idea what was going on in life. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know even anything about God. But now my sins are forgiven and I know I'm going to heaven and my life is transformed. And if that doesn't excite you, keep coming this week. Yep. Keep coming. You might need to get some excitement about souls getting saved. Because that's what we're here for. Change lives. That doesn't excite you. When somebody says, you know what, I used to be a drug addict. I used to drink all the time. Every other word was a swear word. I would lie without even thinking. But now, wow, I just, I don't know how what happened, but I'm different. And I just don't do anymore. I don't even want to anymore. Something happened in me. And even your friends say, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. You're not the same person anymore. That's compensation enough.
Yeah, amen.
But he does say, you'll get a reward in heaven. Because you are doing something that's not trivial. And God thinks that that's important. God thinks that doing things that matter is important. And he promises to reward each and every one. He says, even if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you will not lose your reward. And so, four words that could change your life. If you think about what he said and what he meant and what he didn't mean, do something. Amen. Do something because he's coming back.
Yeah.
And do something until he does come back.
Amen.
I don't know what it is. Ask God. Ask your pastors. Ask somebody, what can I do? I want to help out. Can I help? Trust me. We love volunteers.
Yep.
Occupy till I come. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joe.